Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Aliança Sonae's first quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Rafael Sales, CEO, Mr. Leandro Lopes, COO, Mr. Carlos Correa, CFO, and Mrs. Daniela Guanabara, Strategy and IR Officer. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session for investors and analysts. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. There will be a replay facility for this call for 1 week. We have simultaneous webcast that may be accessed through Aliança Sonae's IR website at ir.aliancesonae.com.br. The slide presentation may be downloaded from this website. Please feel free to flip through the slides during the conference call. We would like to inform that questions can only be asked by telephone, so if you are connected through the webcast, you should email your questions directly to the IR team at ri@aliancesonae.com.br. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the company's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of the company and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Rafael Sales, who will start the presentation. Mr. Rafael, you may begin the conference.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for your interest in Aliança Sonae. I'll start today on slide 3. Obviously, it's important to comment and highlight at this point about how the company is going through this challenge in the face of the pandemic and the consequent closure of our malls. This is a dramatic human and economic crisis, and the Brazilian economy has never faced something like this before. None of us had the experience to deal with such a crisis like that nature. At the beginning of February, the company was already organizing a working group to take preventive actions regarding the coronavirus, even before the first case was confirmed in Brazil. Right after, we created a crisis committee to manage the situation, and since then, we have gone through several phases. First phase was to try to preserve the health of our employees and our visitors while the malls were still open. We promoted a strong awareness campaign in all of our malls, even before state or municipal governments took any initiative. Soon after, governments determined the interruption of non-essential economic activities in the considering shopping centers such as, and we kept open only supermarkets, healthcare providers, and drugstores. All other operations were closed, and we had to implement a closure protocol that had never been used before. We closed 39 malls in 4 days, which was a great effort from all of our team. We implemented closing protocols and right after started to pursue operational and common area cost reductions. Then we started to address the topics regarding our commercial relationship with the tenants, which will later be discussed in this presentation. Well, in this tough environment, we also started working, as you can see on slide 4, on the expenses reductions initiatives, in which we called a first phase of our contingency plan. And basically, we adopted the home office in large scale. This experience has been very positive, as the video conference tools and the data access tools are working very well, proven to be very efficient. And we believe this is a trend that is here to stay and will help to reduce travel costs in general and maybe even other costs as well. We also put a big part of our employees on vacation to reduce vacation time in the future. With the worsening of the health crisis in the country and the extension of the temporary closure of our shopping centers, we are implementing the second phase of this contingency plan, which includes the furlough of some work contracts and the reduction of working hours and wages. For a period of 60 days in the beginning, that can be postponed according to the labor law that was recently approved in Brazil. We adopted a temporary reduction in working hours of 25% and the reduction in wages for all employees. And this reduction will be from 10% to 40% depending on the salary range. The smaller the range, the smaller the reduction. The smaller the salary, the smaller the reduction. The measure adopted so far, the measures adopted so far, added to the seasonality natural of the quarter, should generate a strong reduction in SG&A for the second quarter. We expect SG&A to be 20 to 23% below what we saw in the first quarter. Going forward, with the temporary closure of our centers here on slide 5, we took measures to support our tenants, reducing their needs for working capital and bringing some relief to their cash flow. Regarding tenants, the company granted a 50% discount in March and 100% discount in April. The balance of the 50% due in March will be charged in 6 installments, starting in October 2020 for inline stores, and will be charged in the end of this month, May, for anchor stores. Regarding common area costs, the company granted a 20% reduction on April collection and a 50% reduction on May's collection. For the coming months, we expect to redesign some third-party suppliers' contracts, reducing even more some costs, making a leaner structure, but at the same time, keeping the high quality of our services. Only with the gradual recovery of our operations, we will see these costs coming back. And we hope when we work to have a more efficient structure going forward. In addition, we are also working along with some financial institutions to try to streamline the process of credit concessions to spend for small and mid-sized tenants, especially mom-and-pop stores. Regarding our reopening protocol on slide 6, we provide some details here on the reopening studies that we did to prepare our centers. We are structuring the return of operations at reduced hours, from noon to 8 p.m. or from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tenants will choose whether to operate or not during the first week of restarting. In addition, we are training our on-site teams, reinforcing cleaning and protection procedures such as the access control, temperature measurement, mandatory use of masks for all employees and tenants. And also, we are suggesting that our clients also use masks. We are working together with the city hall in each city that we have operations to issue orders that all visitors must use masks while they are entering the center. So that will help us to limit the visit of people without masks. The protocol was inspired in the best experiences we saw in Asia and in Germany, And we hired specialists and doctors to help us implementing, developing and implementing the protocol together with our team. Currently, there are more than 5,000 malls open around the world. So far, we have not seen cases of increased contamination after these openings. In addition, in Brazil, we have already 88 malls operating, and we also have not seen an increase in contamination on those areas. We understand that each region in Brazil faces a different reality, and we expect the reopening process to start with cities that present lower occupancy rate of hospital beds, and to gradually continue towards larger and dense cities. For countryside cities or smaller capitals, we believe there is a good chance for the reopening to begin later this month or early next month. We are in fact transmitting a real sense of security to our customers, tenants, and employees. This new normality, what we call this low-touch economy normality, should last for some time, and we believe that later on we'll be able to increase operating hours and maybe start relaxing some procedures. In the meantime, we should continue to take this strong, disciplined additional precautions, controlling the flow of people and cars to enter in our malls. On slide 7, I'd like to show you some information regarding the centers that we have already reopened in Santa Maria and in Londrina. These were two successful experiences which followed our reopening protocol, and we will then use those experiences as examples for the next operations to be reopened. On April 18th, our managed mall in Santa Maria was restarted, and in this specific case, the opening hours were defined between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. 92% of tenants are currently operating. The mall is restricting the number of visitors, increasing the space between tables on the food court, and keeping movie theaters and playgrounds closed for a while. Anchor stores reopening from second week on of operations. On May 8th, our first owned mall was open, Boulevard Londrina. And it started with 93% of tenants operating. Anchors were also opening as we returned to operations, and the mall is operating today from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. There are some operations that are not open yet, like the movie theaters as well. In another front that I like to expose to you and give you some updates, there are our initiatives regarding innovation and our omnichannel solutions to provide services to our customers and to our tenants while the shopping centers are still closed. Some initiatives were already underway, and some we were only evaluating, but we were able to implement some very interesting new tools recently. The idea is to basically provide the solutions to our customers, making it easier and enhancing the sales experience and the shopping experience for the customers, and increasing sales while the shoppings are closed to our tenants. At the end of April, we launched special pages in our websites and in our apps of our malls to promote different sales channels of our tenants, offering several delivery options that include the home delivery, drive-in, drive-through pickup, lockers and express delivery like iFood and Log. Since the implementation of this tool, we had 232,000 unique visitors access, being 116,000 to e-commerce 70,000 to WhatsApp, 43,000 to drive-thru, and 3,500 to express delivery channels. The drive-thru experience has already been implemented in 36 of our 39 malls. We are also providing delivery options through lockers at Shopping Parque Dom Pedro, Shopping da Bahia, and Plaza Sul. In addition, the marketplace of Parque Dom Pedro has boosted our the base of retailers that are connecting to our platform. We are also developing partnerships with companies that can accelerate this kind of omnichannel solution for other malls. While we don't have the definitive solution implemented as we did in Parque Dom Pedro. In this front, I believe there will come very good results after the crisis is ended, and we will be able to keep profiting from these omnichannel initiatives going forward. Regarding the results, here on the last slide, I'd like to share with you some comments on the actual results of the first quarter. The operation figures were very strong. We could see that sales had been growing strong well in the beginning of the year, comparing to what we saw until March 15, sales grew 9% organically. In January and February, the figure was even stronger, with growth above 10%. And regarding the financial results, I'd like to highlight the expressive reduction in the cash cost in shopping malls operations, which was down 12%. Of course, this is one of our main synergy lines, which were already showing some results in the beginning of this year. And of course, with the weaker revenues that we're going to have the second quarter, we won't have this effect of scale gains that we saw combined with the cost reduction that impacted the first quarter results. But it's going to be impacting once we reopen the centers in the future, and it will be good contribution to our margins. Unfortunately, the synergy curve will also be postponed regarding the top line commercial synergies, and we expect this to reflect in results in the coming year and in the next. Consequently, our EBITDA was still quite positive, growing 3.6% despite the effect of the reduction on sales on revenues in March. AFFO was flat, which I think is very positive, because here we already disregarded the straight line rent adjustment from the discounts in March. As well, we discounted here the non-recurring cash gains we had with sales of assets that we sold for higher price than they were in our books. And also the earnouts of previous sales that we did before. So the FFO, as you can see on the presentation and in the earnings release, grew much higher than 3%, than like EBITDA. It was a big growth of more than 20%, but adjusted for those non-recurring numbers, it is flat, which is already very good considering March closed. In addition, I think it's also important to highlight our strong cash flow. The generation this last quarter was of 150 million reais in operations, in addition to the gains of the sales of assets that I mentioned. With that, we ended the quarter with a balance of 1.5 billion in cash, leaving us in a very strong cash position. We have already built some stress test scenarios, and in case the malls remain closed for another month or even two, will not have any issues regarding debt covenants, which is a very important thing in that kind of moment. Company will not be restricted by covenants. With this good level of leverage and the well-structured balance sheet, I am comfortable to say that we are currently the strongest balance sheet in industry. And I will give Daniela, of course, will give more details in the company's financial structure, but I think the thing to point out here is that even with a significant drop in EBITDA in this year, we would still have a strong balance sheet with capacity to keep investing. If we use the number of our EBITDA of last year, we would have 1.8 billion reais in capital allocation capacity. And if we consider the drop that we expect for this year, we still would have 1.1 billion reais in capital to be allocated in investments. So once the market normalizes and stabilizes, we are quite sure that we could come back to pursue the growth opportunities that we were pursuing. However, now our focus is entirely in the operational sides, keeping our malls well occupied and preserving our customer experience as good as possible. This crisis won't stand in our way on the longer term. We will keep delivering the results that we are postponing now in the future. I'm confident about it. Now I'll turn to Daniela to give you more details on the quarter, and I'll be available for question and answers after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rafael. Moving now to slide 11, the occupancy rate remained in line with the one posted on the first quarter of 2019 and reached 95.7%. So far, we didn't have many tenants asking to resign their contracts. Therefore, we expect a lower than 1% impact on our occupancy rate after the reopening. Another positive highlight is that even with the malls temporarily closed, our commercial team signed 15 new contracts throughout April, in addition to 71 contracts signed during the first quarter, being 18 in the second half of March. On slide 12, the net delinquency in the first quarter was off 5.5%, which already reflects the economic impact from the COVID-19 pandemic. PDA has also been affected by the distress scenario. The discount granted for rents is conditioned to the payment of other obligations, such as Comunera charge. And so far, we had a positive result in collections over this past month. Moving now to slide 13, Aliança Sonae's total CapEx in the first quarter was of 15 million, out of which 5 million is related to maintenance. Preserved cash in face of the impact from the COVID-19 pandemic, the company decided to postpone all non-essential investments planned for 2020, and therefore the expansions in shopping Taboão, Caxias, Franca, and Campo Limpo are postponed until better market conditions. In addition to all initiatives adopted by Aliança Sonae, we would like to highlight some aspects of our portfolio and financial statements that we believe will bring resilience to our company, which remains prepared to resume the growth pace of its activities once the economy stabilizes. Starting on slide 15, as Rafael has already mentioned, we can see that we have solid liquidity and low leverage, which leave us well prepared to face the crisis. In the first quarter of 2020, the company's cash position was of 1.5 billion reais, representing a growth compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. Especially based on strong operational results in the first 2 months of the year, inflow from divestments and earn-outs, and the successful liability management that we've been conducting. The company's net debt decreased to 624 million in the quarter, and its leverage dropped to 0.9 times net debt EBITDA, which confirms that Aliança Sonae's balance sheet is the strongest among the mall industry in Brazil. The company's ability to face the economic impacts caused by the COVID-19 pandemic are also reaffirmed by its investment potential while keeping an adequate level of leverage. Considering the current cash balance and the results accumulated in 2019, the company could increase its investments up to 1.8 billion reais without exceeding the 3.5 times net debt EBITDA. In a more stressed scenario, even with a 30% drop on 2019 results, Allianz Sonae would still have an investment capacity of 1.1 billion reais without exceeding 3.5 times net debt EBITDA. We highlight that we are also comfortable with our debt amortization schedule, which past the first quarter represents 30 million reais for 2020 and 231 million reais for 2021. Moving now to slide 16, Allianz Sonae has consolidated its competitive positioning as the largest mall manager in the country with 1.4 million GLA under management. The company's commercial strength combines balanced geographical footprint with leading assets within its catchment areas. Dominance is the result of a set of factors that include high geographic density, disposable income, and leadership. Our portfolio's 10 largest assets in terms of sales per square meter present strong operational metrics above the average of their competitors within their catchment areas, which increases their ability to attract tenants and consumers. The company's asset management strategy is focused on concentrating stakes in dominant assets, which brings stronger results and greater resilience to the portfolio. In the next slide, we show in greater details the factors which determine the dominant positioning of the five largest companies' assets in terms of NOI. Starting with Parque Dom Pedro, the asset is dominant not only in Campinas, but also in the nearby cities. The household income in its catchment area is 39% higher than in the city of Campinas, reaching 8.9 thousand reais per month. With a qualified annual demand of 4.3 billion reais and a concentration of sales in the A and B income classes, the mall is the company's greatest asset in terms of NOI. Moving now to Shopping da Bahia, the asset is one of the most traditional in Brazil and located in one of the most qualified regions of Salvador. The 1.4 million inhabitants of its catchment area present average household income of 6.2 thousand reais, which represents a qualified demand of 10 billion reais, which is mostly captured by the asset, considering its dominance. Sales in Shopping da Bahia are 75% concentrated in income classes A and B. Moving now to Manawara Shopping. A little over 10 years after the start of its operations, the asset is dominant throughout the city of Manaus, being the main center in the capital of Amazonas. The mall's catchment area reaches 807,000 people with an average household income of 6.8 thousand reais. 82% of total consumers come from income classes A and B. And a highlight of the asset is its sale per square meter, which reaches almost 2.9 thousand reais per month. Going now to Shopping Leblon. The mall is located within an area of high average household income of almost 47,000 reais, in which AAA consumers assure a qualified annual demand of 3.3 billion reais and present one of the highest sales per square meter of the industry, reaching almost 3.8 thousand reais per month. Going now to Shopping Boulevard Belém. Located in the most qualified and dense region of the city, Boulevard Belém has a strong dominance within its catchment area, being the main asset of the city. The mall concentrates 78% of its sales in income classes A and B, which translates in solid operating figures such as almost 2.9 thousand reais per month in sales per square meter. Thank you all. Let's open the floor for the Q&A section.
Excuse me. At this time, I would like to turn the floor over back to Mr. Rafael Sales for closing remarks.
Hello, I appreciate your attention to the company and our results. We had a very long conference call in the Portuguese version previously to that meeting. I think there are questions, interesting questions that were answered in this call, and it will be available and translated in our IR website. So I suggest you to take a look at that. Also, I hope everyone is healthy and safe during this crisis, and we can see each other soon. But once this crisis is over, thank you. See you next quarter.
Thank you. This concludes Aliança Sonae's first quarter 2020 earnings conference call. You may now disconnect your line at this time. Have a nice day.